Is this the American dream? Really? The American dream has become a nightmare. I don't know about you, but sometimes it makes me scream. Technological advances over the last 40 years have put opportunities once reserved for large corporations and the rich into the hands of ordinary citizens. Small businesses and sole proprietorships have grown in direct proportion to these advances. But here's the caveat. These same technological advances meant to liberate us have buried most of us. Remember when we thought technology would do some of our work for us, allowing us more free time to live the good life? Well, consider recent technologies intended to speed up productivity and streamline business. Things like email, texting, Skype, social media. Have these platforms truly given us more time away from menial tasks? Or have they added to our workload? Technology has become a tyrant. After starting a business in search of autonomy, many disillusioned small business owners end up being chained to their businesses, working out for what averages to be $6 an hour. People who wanted to be their own bosses have found they now have a tyrant for a boss, the technology they thought would free them. Remember when the fax machine came on the scene? Well, it was a tool meant to speed up the delivery of information. Sure, on one hand, fax machines allowed for greater efficiency. We were able to send proposals to prospective clients and rapidly respond to requests for information. But, on the other hand, that new technology became a monster, feeding into society's insatiable appetite for immediate gratification. It trained customers and clients to expect faster turnaround time, placing even more pressure on the person required to deliver the information. The face of communication continued to evolve as we progressed from landlines to pagers to cell phones, now smartphones. With technology exploding at its present rate, it's practically impossible to hide. We're continuously held to higher expectations, aware if we don't toe the line, our clients will move on. In many cases, the confidence and self-assurance, once the hallmark of the modern business person, has been reduced to a fear-based mentality governed by the stress of doing business under these conditions. What's happening is this: workloads that were supposed to decrease as technological advances increased find us overworked, overwhelmed, overcome by stress. That good old-fashioned work ethic ingrained in us by past generations has many people by the neck, eyes bulging, unsure how to break loose and stop the insanity. As a businessman who took himself from zero to hero in 8 years, I learned fast that the key to successful entrepreneurship is working smarter instead of harder. Now, this is a great concept for those who have the budget to hire a support staff. But given America's current small business resistant economic climate, it's extremely difficult for most small businesses to hire, and they're severely understaffed. Why? Well, the liabilities, the taxes, holiday pay, vacation pay, sick pay, health insurance, 401ks, you name it. And the exhausted entrepreneur can't imagine taking time to interview, hire, process the paperwork for, and then train a new employee. They find it's better to work harder, not smarter, and just get by until things get better. And chances are, this short-sighted approach means things will never get better. So here's my story. Before I start telling you how to improve your life, I should probably tell you how I improved mine. I learned to work smarter, not harder, well, the hard way. You hear a lot of entrepreneurs talk about the school of hard knocks. Yeah, that was my alma mater too. But the knocks aren't quite as hard when you allow yourself to, one, do something you have a natural affinity for, and two, do something you enjoy. I was lucky. I had parents who believed in the do what you love and the money will follow mantra, and they taught it to me. I began working at 13, started a business at 17, and by the time I was in my mid-20s, I'd made my first million. Almost 30 years ago, I stood alone behind the cash register of my first business, a retail clothing store in Hollywood, California. After 5 days, without a single sale, visions of failure both haunted and motivated me. At the age of 17, I didn't know much about business, but I knew two things. First, I wanted my dad to be proud of me, and two, basically, people want to help other people. And that's the core concept of delegation. Understanding that core concept turned things around for me. I reached out for help, and what I found was that business people are eager to help others. I asked anyone who would listen how they thought I could save my failing business, and I was inundated with stories of success and best practices. It was one of those practices that helped me turn the corner in my business. Upon the advice of a mentor, I adjusted my store hours, staying open later than my direct competition. In combination with this, I decided to carry a clothing line that would appeal to the late-night club crowd. It was a relatively simple adjustment, and it worked. I found a niche and an untapped market. My love for my business led to curiosity, which led to change, which gave me the edge I needed. Within 8 years, I made my first million. And since then, I've been able to turn multiple passions into prosperous businesses and careers. I've been a best-selling music and television producer, author, speaker, and successful entrepreneur. I've appeared on numerous radio and TV shows across North America. Today, one of the things I enjoy most is helping small business owners transform their businesses. I show them how not only to play ball with the big corporations, but also beat them at their own game. So here's my advice. Do what you love until you become good at it. I was able to do what I love because my parents never told me I couldn't. But choosing to do what you love isn't necessarily the same as doing what you're good at. If you have to choose one or the other, I'd say go with what you love. Because if you love it, you'll do it often enough to become good at it. Steve Martin is one of those people who inspires me. You probably think of him as a comedian, but he's also a Renaissance man. He does what he loves, and he's a great example of a person who does what he loves until he becomes good at it. Among his many hobbies is music. About banjo playing, Steve has said, "I was never that great, but a funny thing happens after you've been playing for 40 years. You wake up one morning, and you're pretty damn good." I've spent 3 decades in business, not because I've hoped it would make me money, although it has, but because I love it. And along the way, I've made it a priority to learn everything there was to know about marketing. Of course, it's changing all the time, but because I loved it, I became a student of marketing. First I loved it, then I learned about it. This innate love and curiosity led me to the knowledge that has allowed me to create numerous successful companies over the years. Maybe you didn't get the message, do what you love, or maybe you got it, but you ignored it. Did you choose your business for the money, for the benefits? Well, it doesn't matter. Any way you slice it, if you don't love what you're doing the wrong thing. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Now hang on a sec before you throw your hands up in defeat. No matter what you're doing, you're not stuck. Even if you've been building your business for years, you can always make changes. And you don't necessarily have to close your doors or sell your business to be happy. Maybe it is time to move on. Or maybe it's not your job you hate, but it's the way you do your job. Either way, no matter what the reason, you're not the first person to have found yourself in this position. The days of working for a company for 30 years and retiring with that gold watch and pension, gone. But not so bad. Today we have more choices. It's not unusual for someone to switch careers a few times because they keep finding things they like better, or even because they become bored by what they're doing. Change is a positive force. If you're ready to make changes, the first step is to examine whether it's your business you're dissatisfied with or an aspect of your business that's not working. Think of it as a marriage. You might enjoy being married, but you discover your spouse's minor idiosyncrasies are worse than, well, bamboo under your fingernails. A good relationship will allow for an open line of communication to resolve issues. You kiss and make up, and the next thing you know, you're celebrating 20 years together. And the same goes for your business. Chances are, if you were able to make changes in the way you do things, it would change the way you feel about your work. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to show you how to gain insight into what stands between you and satisfaction with your business. And I provided a series of what I call power moves. They'll help you move in the right direction. As you follow along, it'll be obvious whether it's time to walk down a new street. Is it time to find a new business or fix what's not working with the one you have? Your level of satisfaction may simply be a matter of finding the right kind of help. What is the right kind of help? One of the things I wasn't always good at was finding the right kind of help. But because I love business, over the years I've become better and better at identifying the kind of help I need. I've been able to surround myself with people who are not only the most successful at what they do, but who sincerely care about the quality of their products and services. I've learned to understand the intricacies of delegation, which tasks can be delegated, how, and to whom. And I've learned that delegation doesn't always involve human beings. With the rise in online marketing and social media, support services are popping up for every imaginable task. Blogging networks, social media, aggregation software, all available to work for us, even on weekends and holidays. Here's your first power move. Surround yourself with successful people. Coming up in the next section of our program, Chapter 1, The Outsourcing Paradigm.